As a woman, have you ever struggled with your weight? Now, I am going to go ahead and expand what I'm about to say to the world of women. I wholeheartedly believe that there is not a woman among us who has not had weight on her mind, likely every day of her life, for a really long time. And this is based off of my own relationships with other women and my own relationship with myself. Today's episode is a bonus episode where we are talking about weight. Let's go ahead and get right into this.
Welcome to Holistic Wellness, a podcast exploring the science and metaphysics of health and wellness. I'm your host, Brandi Searcy, founder and formulator at Rain Organica, where you'll find holistic skincare in one simple routine.
Growing up, I was not thin. And it wasn't until I went to college where suddenly I kind of dropped a lot of extra weight. And to this day, I really don't know. I mean, things changed when I went to college. I started walking that requisite 6,000 steps a day, at least from the just across campus, and then didn't live on campus for very long and started walking from the apartment that I was renting. And in addition to that, I also pretty quickly after, definitely during my second year of college, started going to the Y, and this is where I discovered Pilates. And I still firmly believe that Pilates had a huge role in helping me to shed that excess weight. I, of course, was also doing some weight resistance, started doing some weight resistance training at the time. But at the end of the day, when I look back and look at what was consistent, it was really the Pilates and the walking. And this was much more so than diet, which at that time I was still eating a standard American diet, lots of cheese, lots of carbs, all the things. And it kind of didn't matter. I was still losing the weight. And fast forward to 20 plus years later, I'd been able to maintain that new weight for me for essentially 20 years, or to, if we're counting exactly, for 16 years. And then, seemingly overnight, I started putting on weight. And I couldn't figure out why. We'd moved that year, but it was a very, in my mind, a very positive move. We'd moved from Colorado to California, which I am not a fan of the cold. Like 6 months of the year, as gorgeous as Colorado is, that 6 months was lost on me because I don't ski, I don't snowboard, I don't like winter outdoor activities. I don't like to be cold. I have a condition known as Raynaud's syndrome, and this is where the capillaries in your fingers and toes constrict, cutting off blood circulation, and it is exacerbated by the cold. And here, when I say cold, anything less than about 65 and sunny. So I was much more in that move. I was much more active after moving to California, much happier. Like my job was so much better. The job I had in Colorado, even though I really enjoyed what I did, it was a huge amount of stress. I was in a position where I was overworking, putting excess burden on myself, and also being forced to work extra in order to meet timelines. And this was taking a toll on my appearance in particular. I remember I was losing eyelashes and definitely noticed some new wrinkles in my face that should not have been there for me at my age. I was looking older than the actual time on this planet warranted. So, you know, all of the things were kind of lining up. I'm like, I've reduced my stress levels with this move. And here I am gaining weight. What is going on? And about the same time, I lost my appetite. Like it just tanked. And I still remember one of the very first doctors I saw during all this telling me, well, you are a woman who is now 35 years of age, and it's to be expected that your metabolism would tank. To which I replied, you mean my metabolism just shuts off like a light switch? And she said, yeah. And she completely dismissed me and basically sent me packing. Now, needless to say, I have never once been back to that doctor or recommended her ever to anyone. At this point, I don't even remember her name because it doesn't matter. What I knew for sure, though, walking out of there was that I was going to figure out why I was no longer hungry, why I was forcing myself to eat 3 meals a day, and why I was gaining weight. And it took 2 years, but I figured it out. And ultimately, how I figured it out was because I didn't give up on myself. That is it. I didn't give up. I didn't concede to accepting this as a way of life, because no woman should have to accept this as a way of life. And ultimately for me, what it turned out is I actually have an autoimmune thyroid condition, and this was causing the weight gain and the loss of appetite. And whenever you are battling with low thyroid hormones, and this is regardless of whether, so, you know, if you're thinking, okay, this doesn't apply to me because I don't have a thyroid condition, listen up, because chances are it does. And we're going to get into the how here in a few minutes. All right. In the meantime, let me just describe some of the symptoms of what happens when you have low thyroid. So when you have low thyroid, it's very common to also experience low stomach acid. And because of this low stomach acid, it means you're not absorbing the nutrients from your food very well. And so you're essentially in a malnourished state. And the nutrients that are especially problematic are the B vitamins and also iron, because both of these classes of nutrients or classes of minerals and vitamins are absolutely necessary for healthy red blood cell production. And so often what goes hand in hand with a low thyroid state is having anemia of some sort. And this can also lead to not being so depleted in B12, especially, that you have to rely on shots because you're not absorbing it from your GI tract, your gastrointestinal tract. And so if you're somebody that, you know, has started to have B12 shots in order to get your B12 numbers up, low thyroid may be why. And if you're thinking, oh, well, my thyroid numbers are normal, here's the thing. TSH gives no real indicator of the function of your thyroid. TSH is made by the pituitary gland up in your brain. The role of that hormone is to kick your thyroid hormone, to start pushing that thyroid, saying, hey, we don't have enough thyroid hormone in the body. You need to do your job and make some. And so the thyroid responds in kind by making what we most commonly, at least in lab work, look at is T3 and T4, along with three other thyroid hormones that we don't talk about very much. And so T3 and T4, those, when they're released into your bloodstream, might be snarfed up by some circulating proteins, most notably albumin, and also a protein known as TBG, which stands for thyroxine binding globulin. That thyroxine's a big scary word. You can just substitute thyroid for that. So thyroid binding globulin. And then what that does is it hangs on to the T3 and the T4. So it's not readily available to get out of the bloodstream at that point. So the TBG, and again, albumin, and there's some other proteins as well, bind to a large amount of the circulating T3 and T4 and hold it in the bloodstream and maintain it as circulating levels of T3 and T4. What is relevant in all of this is this circulating amounts of free T3 and free T4. These are unbound T3 and unbound T4 that are actually available to leave the bloodstream and get into your body's cells where they're able to promote metabolism. And this is where the hormone interplay comes into the discussion, because here is where the hormone, in particular cortisol, produced by the adrenals, helps that circulating free T3 and free T4 get out of your bloodstream and into the cells where it's able to do its job and support your metabolism. And so when we tie in cortisol, especially, you know, this is the stress hormone. This is the hormone that I think for a lot of women who are in their 40s, like, we all of a sudden kind of seemingly overnight start to have problems with cortisol if we've never had it before. And part of the reason why is because in our 40s, especially, and I mean, this starts even earlier, this starts kind of in the late 30s, the amounts of estrogen and progesterone that are made during any given menstrual cycle start to kind of diminish gradually. And with this, especially, the most important one of these is actually the estrogen. So it starts to kind of fall. And then this can disrupt a lot of things, most notably how your body uses insulin, yet another hormone, and how your body uses insulin impacts how well you're using cortisol. Now, hang with me for a minute, because where I'm going with this is to say that your cortisol levels should follow a natural rhythm, a natural daily rhythm. They should be highest in the morning, about half an hour or so after you get up, and then they should fall throughout the course of the day, kind of in a nice hill-shaped fall, all the way to plateau very low at bedtime. And a lot of us, because of undue amounts of stress that we've had previously in our lives, because of this kind of hormonal upheaval that we're experiencing as we go through our 40s, because of undiagnosed and subclinical hypothyroidism, all of a sudden find us in a state where we've got stressed adrenals and that cortisol is not following the optimal daily pattern. And so what this leads to is either imbalanced cortisol production, and this is where you have highs and lows at weird times throughout the day. So instead of this nice, most notably, instead of this nice hill-like curve decline to bedtime, to a low at bedtime, you actually have a spike at bedtime. So your 10 p.m. cortisol levels are higher than your 6 p.m. cortisol levels. And this is a problem because it can lead to insomnia at night, like you're struggling to go to sleep and you're like, I don't understand it. I was dead tired at 4 this afternoon, or I was dead tired at 8 p.m. and now it's bedtime and I can't fall asleep. Like, what is going on? I've so been there. And then the other thing that is very common is to wake up in that 3 to 4 a.m. period. And this is especially points to a thyroid problem. And the reason for that is because around 3 to 4 a.m. is when the adrenals are starting to kind of wake up, starting that cortisol production that's going to be needed to get you out of bed in the morning. And the adrenals absolutely need thyroid hormone. In addition to thyroid hormone, the adrenals also thrive off vitamin C. And so this is why that adrenal cocktail has become so popular. And this is where essentially you're drinking orange juice for the vitamin C, and then you add in something that contains potassium. Typically, it's coconut water, because coconut water is high in potassium. Sometimes, like if you're in a pinch or you don't like coconut water or whatever, you'll add in a quarter of a teaspoon of cream of tartar because of its high potassium level. And then very often, it's common to add in a little bit of sea salt as well. Now, if you are doing the adrenal cocktail, I will caution you, because what I have seen in the work that I do is that when you're taking in undue amounts of salt a day, it actually increases estrogen dominance. And the reason it does that is not because estrogen being created by the ovaries. It's because your adrenals, little known fact, also produce reproductive hormones, most notably progesterone, which is why women who are stressed struggle to ovulate. And second of all, they produce androgens, which get converted into estrogen. And that estrogen helps maintain the salt balance and regulate blood volumes within your body. So if you're getting too much salt, your body is going to find a way to create more estrogen to help it retain water so that you have sufficient blood volume to overcome that salt imbalance, which you have now introduced by eating a lot of excess salt. So as with everything, there's always finding balance when it comes to health. So we want to avoid an estrogen dominant state where we are just overproducing estrogens. And so we don't want to get too much salt, but some salt is good for us, and especially the sea salts, because it contains so many different micronutrients. Now, how I do an adrenal cocktail is just focus on the vitamin C. An adrenal cocktail for me is a little bit of orange juice or something else that contains a lot of vitamin C, like kiwi fruit, or even like an amla tea or Indian gooseberry tea. So pulling back over into the conversation of the cortisol component, the adrenals need thyroid hormone in order to make that cortisol each morning. So again, if you are waking up in that 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. period, it may point to the fact that you're dealing with hypothyroidism. And this may be hypothyroidism that's detectable by a blood test. So again, by looking at free T3 and free T4 values. And it's not just, okay, my numbers are in range. It's where in range. Especially for people who have an autoimmune thyroid condition, there are very specific areas of that range where you want to be with both of those values, your free T3 and free T4, and it is not in the lower half of the range. So again, that may point to an overt, like detectable by a blood test, low thyroid state, or it may point to the fact that your thyroid hormone's not able to get out of the tissues. And once again, this couples back around to, it's like a chicken and egg or a catch-22 situation on which came first, the cortisol dysfunction or the thyroid dysfunction. And how do you go about supporting both of those? Well, this is one of the things I am talking about in an upcoming summit called Flourish Beyond 40. And it's the first time ever that I'm talking about this in the context of weight management for women over 40. If you are interested in that, be sure to click that link in the show notes below. Like if you want more of this talk, be sure to click that link in the show notes below to sign up and hold your spot. And definitely sooner rather than later, because early bird pricing ends on the 15th of February. So just in 3 short days. Now, if you're listening to this and going, okay, so you're just going to leave me hanging? I'm not going to just leave you hanging. So for adrenal support, focus on vitamin C and focus on daily rhythms. This is why it's so important to maintain a set schedule, so important to have the same rise time and the same bedtime on the weekends as it is during the week. Why it's so important too to get out in sunlight when you first rise in the morning, within that kind of 30-minute window or an hour window of rising, to get outside and get some sunlight exposure. It's also why it's important to have a little something during that first hour after you rise. It's all about supporting the adrenals. And then in addition to that, like if you have, because the way to get thyroid hormone out of the bloodstream and into the tissues is by having appropriate cortisol levels and having iron that's in the right range. So for this, a lot of times for a complete iron panel, there's kind of four things to look at. There's ferritin, there's transferrin ion, or iron binding capacity, also commonly abbreviated as TIBC, because otherwise it's a mouthful. There's unsaturated binding capacity, or unsaturated iron, which is calculated. And then there's like outright iron. So there's kind of four things. And with that, you want to be in the sweet spot on all of the ranges, because iron that is either too high or too low, it diminishes the ability for that thyroid hormone to get out of the bloodstream and into the cell's tissues. So supporting iron, appropriate iron levels. And if you find yourself anemic, or find yourself either deficient in one of the B vitamins or deficient in iron, one of the key things, like one of the ways to encourage absorption from your GI tract, is by being sure that you are helping support stomach acidity every single meal. And there are different ways of doing that. This is one of the reasons why apple cider vinegar drinks are so popular, like adding a little bit of apple cider vinegar and drinking that as a shot alongside, of course, a diluted shot alongside each meal is so popular, because that's one of the ways to do it. Betaine, the supplement betaine, is another one. There's kind of a specific protocol for assessing how much betaine you need to support appropriate stomach acid levels. That is very common to practice. And then also being sure that you're taking vitamin C alongside any iron supplement that you are taking to, it, once again, encourage absorption, and also to serve as an antioxidant when you're taking iron, which tends to be pro-oxidant. So hopefully that helps, gives you some idea of like things to do to support optimal hormonal balance into your 40s and beyond. Again, kind of a quick recap of what we talked about here is, with anything, it's insufficient to only look at TSH. We also want to look at free T3, free T4, and even something called reverse T3, which we didn't talk about in today's episode, but is also important. And then where you are in the range with those Ts, with each of those thyroid hormones. And then in addition to that, this is where, depending on where you fall in the range, it may be worthwhile to get a thyroid literate doctor who will also look at cellular indication of your thyroid state. And this would be something like looking at basal metabolic rate, doing a muscle reflex test, and this kind of thing. So, and then the things that you're able to do kind of regardless of where you fall in that range, just to support thyroid health and the thyroid hormones getting into the cells of the body, is to support your adrenals. And again, the ways to do that are follow an appropriate rise and bedtime routine, to be sure you're getting enough vitamin C. And one of the things that we didn't talk about is this aspect of overexercise. This might have to be a separate show in and of itself, on the overexercise piece, but it's really important not to overexercise, because that can seriously suppress both cortisol and thyroid hormone levels. So anyway, just something else to keep in mind. And then if you are, especially if you struggle with B vitamin deficiency or iron deficiency, and again, it's really important to test for a full iron panel, should test all four of those parameters and be sure that things are in the optimal area of that range for women. If you are struggling with either one of those, it's important to remember that supporting stomach acid is very valuable. All right, that is all I wanted to say about that for today. I feel like there's about 10 things I forgot to mention, but I think that is enough food for thought for today. Again, if you are interested and want more talk around this, be sure to hit that sign up link for the Flourish Beyond 40 Summit. All right, until next time, where we are going to once again be talking about fertility, starting off with that Mira fertility monitor. Until then, talk to you later. Bye.